chilly, chilly Tuesday morning. A beautiful blanket of blue-gray clouds behind the Crescent City Connection, still lit up in purple, gold, and green for January 6th, King's Day yesterday, I guess, a later Mardi Gras this year, March 4th, so you can eat a whole bunch of king cake. Dane Ciolino joins us now, president of Law at Loyola, of Law at Loyola, our friend, to talk about the terror attack on Bourbon Streets and lawsuits that have been announced. Good morning, Dane. Happy New Year to you.
Morning, Tommy. Happy New Year to you.
Is there a legal or a constitutional constraint on when you can say Happy New Year? Do you know?
I think there's a Seinfeld episode on that, and I think we're past that deadline.
Are we past
Tommy.
It? Okay, well,
we are.
I go with it until the end of January if I talk to somebody for the first time. Let's talk about serious up here and talk about the attacks on Bourbon Street. I think we all knew it was just a matter of time until some kind of suit was filed. Dane, I don't know. I'm just going to back off and let you explain about suing public agencies, suing cities, public entities, negligence, what the challenges are going to be here. Sir, Professor, the floor is yours.
Well, the answer here is pretty simple. You cannot sue a peace officer or a governmental entity that employs a peace officer for damages in a civil suit where the allegation is that the police officer or the city performed some sort of discretionary function in law enforcement in a negligent manner. And that's exactly what these lawsuits, there's already one filed, and if others are filed, are alleging that the city, probably including all the way up to the mayor's office and the superintendent of police, were negligent in not exercising reasonable care to protect people from a terrorist attack on Bourbon Street.
Is that qualified immunity, Dane? Is that the same thing or not?
It is a form of qualified immunity. You know, oddly enough, this principle arose in case law all over the country, including in Louisiana. And the Louisiana legislature just last regular session codified that immunity principle into the Louisiana revised statutes. So this is a brand new statutory law that couldn't be clearer that simply there is no lawsuit.
So why file it? I'm not trying to put you into the mind of the people that did. I can understand from a family standpoint, but from the legal firm standpoint, although as part of being a lawyer, you do try to put yourself in the mind of other people, I guess, right?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, it could be that the lawyers just didn't do their pre-suit investigation into the law that would foreclose this sort of lawsuit. Maybe they are hoping for some change in the law at some point. I don't know, because to me, the law really in this area couldn't be clearer, even though I think even citizen observers like you and I who don't aren't experts in law enforcement know that there was negligence here, that that the city knew or certainly should have known about this this significant risk. They had taken efforts to ameliorate the risk, but then just let those efforts essentially waste away on the street, and the bollards were not working. They were, I mean, we could go on, but we all know that there was negligence here, but there's nothing that can be done about it, at least in a civil lawsuit.
Is there a long game being played here about ultimately trying to get to the qualified immunity itself, either through an appeals court or the Supreme Court, where, because I would believe this happened in other jurisdictions before, other municipalities. I would, maybe it happened after 9/11 or where other attacks have happened, or George Floyd, anything in these situations. But how is that different? For example, let me take the George Floyd incident. Did the city pay out judgments in those cases? And when law enforcement officers have been wrong, judgments have been paid out, right? But that's different than negligence. Take me through that, Dane, if you will.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are civil rights statutes, the federal civil rights statutes that allow you to sue when a police officer acting under color of state law deprives you of your civil liberties. And we often see those lawsuits in excessive force situations like George Floyd. Those are routinely brought. Typically, the city, the municipality, is shielded from any liability by a form of immunity because unless the unless the municipality ordered the conduct at, you know, up at the highest levels, or there's a pattern of practice that the municipality is ignoring and failing to address. But, you know, those cases are intentional wrongdoing by police officers. And this Louisiana statute excludes from the scope of the immunity any intentional conduct. So if a police officer were to beat you or to use excessive force, there's still the ability to bring a lawsuit against that officer, less likely to bring a lawsuit against the municipality that employs the officer. But in this case, we're talking about simple negligence, and simple negligence, even though it had catastrophic consequences in this case, is not something that you can bring a civil rights suit to redress those damages.
It seems like one, we're talking active actions, the other, a lack of actions almost, but lack of actions would be covered by qualified immunity. Accurate?
Correct. This qualified immunity from a negligence lawsuit for exercising a discretionary function. And you can see the policy for that. I mean, if the fire truck got to your house a little late and it burned down because the firefighters took a wrong turn or didn't use the right hoses to pump the right amount of water on your house, I mean, the liability would be endless if we allowed municipalities to be liable for that sort of discretionary function negligence.
All right, 6:51. Let me take a break for traffic. We'll come back with Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, our good friend. If you have any questions about these lawsuits or first lawsuit, I got to believe there would be more that have been filed in this Bourbon Street attacks. You can text them into the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. 6:57, 3 till 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. Dane, you know, I had 3 hours of media law at UNO and 3 hours of business law at UNO, so you consider me a peer, don't you?
Of course.
Some texts are coming in. Can other lawsuits besides civil be filed? In other words, is there any possible legal recourse? That's from the talk and text line.
Not that I can think of. I mean, I guess there could be some administrative actions brought against police officers for incompetence or dereliction of duty or something along those lines. I'm not suggesting that anybody in particular was responsible. I don't know, but that's about the only thing that I can think of. I can't imagine any criminal actions would be warranted. Civil actions aren't appropriate because of the qualified immunity. That would only leave administrative actions, and I would be surprised to see anything like that.
Somebody else texted and said, please ask the professor about the people who rented the truck and a guy who sold the terrorist the gun. Now, to me, Dane, in my massive legal experience, the only person who would be liable for this is the terrorist. There's no money there because he was broke, which led to his problems. And they talk about suing up the chain, right? But talk about, I don't know how the people who rented the truck would have any foreseeable no action, knowledge that this would happen, or the gun, et cetera. Go through that whole thing, please.
Yeah, exactly. Their only liability or criminal responsibility would flow from knowing or about the terrorist activity that was planned and then aiding and abetting it, or whether they should have known about it. I can't imagine any of those, the supplier of the truck or any of the raw materials used to make the bombs or the sellers of the firearms had any knowledge or constructive or actual knowledge that this was going to happen. So in the absence of proof that they knew or should have known that they were aiding and abetting a terrorist act, I can't imagine that they're going to face any liability.
So to wrap it up in 30 seconds, and I'm getting text here, political responsibility and civil liability are two different things completely, and that's where qualified immunity comes in. Accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. And if citizens don't like what happened, and obviously none of us do, then they're not going to be any civil recourse. It's going to be at the ballot box.
Thank you, Dane. A pleasure as always. Have a good January. Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. We'll talk to Councilmember Joe Geruso when we come back. Tommy Tucker, glad you're with us. Chilly Tuesday morning, WWL.